You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
I'm David Gallagher.
And I'm Steve Ellis.
And you're listening to
Weeby Geeks.
And welcome to another edition of, or episode, however you want to call it, of Weeby Geeks, your official voice of the geek revolution. I guess it's just guys' night this week.
All dudes, no chicks. Woo, woo, woo.
Oh, wait. I guess that kind of gets ruined later because we're going to have a special guest night that is of the female persuasion.
True. But we do have to say Jules is not with us tonight.
No.
And we do miss her.
She went hitchhiking. So that's why she can't be with us today. And we don't know where she's at, actually, because it's not safe to hitchhike anymore.
She mentioned something about Code Green.
Yeah.
I thought she was talking about me, but...
I thought she was talking about a new Mountain Dew.
Oh, it could be. You get Mountain Dew Code Red at your local grocery store. At Aldi, you get Code Green.
Right.
So, we have a special guest coming up a little later in the show. But before then, let's cover a little business. Check out the website. Click that Amazon tab, especially if you're interested in a new set of headphones, be it for gaming or your mobile device. And when you're on Amazon, check out Audio Technica's products. We use them. Our microphones are Audio Technica. We love them. I'm using a pair of their headphones. Absolutely love them. I actually have submitted an order for a pair for my work location at work.
Yeah.
So, because I'm really happy with these headphones. I really like the response. Yeah, the frequency coverage, frequency response. So check those out. Check out Superhero Stuff and their Hero Box. Check out Her Universe. Also through the website. That's pretty much it with our affiliates and sponsors. Check out the other shows on the Weeby Geeks Network. They're there for your listening pleasure as well. Help them out. Have easy access to their iTunes page on the homepage as well. You'll see it on the right hand side of the show. So, we talked about Superhero Stuff. News story that came out right before we started recording tonight. Apparently, Hot Topic is going to be buying ThinkGeek.
What?
How insane is that?
Doesn't that sound like it should be the other way around? In some weird parallel way? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Because when I'm looking to just kind of blow some money and I want something just really just nerdy, that's where I go. That's the go-to site, is ThinkGeek. They always have some great stuff.
So,
and I'm surprised that Hot Topic is honestly in a financial situation to be able to buy anything other than their own, you know, restock.
I didn't think they were in a financial position to go around the corner and buy a cookie from Mrs. Fields.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was waiting for the day that Hot Topic was just going to finally close doors. I thought they were getting back to that point, but apparently I'm wrong. Apparently there are more malls out there in America than I realize, and kids are still going to it.
Unless people are buying off their online store, because they have quite a bit of exclusives that you can only get online.
It's true.
So, according to this article from Engadget.com, they say high school is teenage tribalism, which is why the lip service kids aren't going to hang with the Forever 21 set in the launch hall. Okay, whatever. This is a guy trying to be cool. Now, however, Hot Topic has realized that it's got plenty in common with ThinkGeek and has decided to swallow the niche retailer in a deal worth $122
million. Wow.
That's it. We just need to come up with some sort of niche spinoff store type thing to Weeby Geeks and have someone buy it.
But I mean, that's like the impressive thing to me too is the fact that the site was actually pretty well done. Like, it was easy to navigate, find. It was like, if you actually read the descriptions on items, they were pretty entertaining. So it wasn't like they were just half butting it.
To continue on with this article, Hot Topic CEO Lisa Harper believes that it's a good fit since both companies share a strategy of delivering great products for avid fans of various licensed properties. or in a non-business school buzzkill speak, selling y'all t-shirts with Marvel characters on them will make the company even more bank if it owns one of its rivals.
And I will say that Hot Topic, the last time I actually ventured into one, which it's been a while, but they always seem to carry like some of those, you know, accessories that are, you know, kind of geek related, mostly video game or comic book or cartoon kind of thing, like belt buckles and backpacks. And so I can see there being some crossover in there, but I guess it's not too far fetched, but still it just feels like they were two sort of very different entities. You know, and what I'm hoping for is that they don't homogenize the two. Like all of a sudden it becomes Hot Geek.
They need to let ThinkGeek continue being what it is and don't try and mess with it.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll probably be some, but yeah, I kind of hope that they do stay as separate, you know, kind of brands within the same house.
But I have a funny feeling it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But you know,
Hot Geek is kind of catchy. I wonder if that URL is still available.
I don't know. It's just like for our store, we could do Geeks R Us.
Yeah.
So, what else do we have? I mean, it was kind of a slow week.
I'm checking the URL on Hot Geek now. I think I'm on this one. Oh, it's available. It's available as of right now. So after this is posted, someone buy it. There you go. Somewhat was almost scared to put that into a URL too.
Hot Geek.
You don't know what you're gonna get sometime.
Do we go for it and then try and set up a actual retail store?
No, probably not. It probably won't.
But if we buy the site and try and start building the store, will Hot Topic want to buy the site from us?
Yeah. Yes. They're like, well, we've already got one. And all we're doing is like mirroring ThinkGeek, just changing the name on everything. They don't know the. And then they buy us for like $100.
Do a redirect. We want to redirect ThinkGeek to us.
Yeah. See how long it takes them to notice.
Or have Hot Geek be the redirect to ThinkGeek.
They'll never.
Is that your site? No, but piggyback's okay.
You're welcome.
So trying to think what else we got going on. I know the new Point Break trailer's out, and it's like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's still happening?
Apparently so.
How many, are you getting to the stage of remake burnout? Because it's to me, it's almost getting to the point of, I don't care, or you don't need to remake something. Yeah.
Well, apparently, I mean, I guess Tomorrowland is kind of an original story of some sort, and it's not even what it was originally meant to be. Story-wise, I'm slowly starting to get fizzled out by the reboots.
Yeah.
Poltergeist, yay. Point Blank, yay. And now they're talking League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, yay.
Which I hope that's not a remake and more of a let's do this right time. First one. My first league was just terrible. Hated it.
Well, let's put Tom Sawyer in when he was never in the series.
But to me, it was more, it wasn't even like who they put in there like as characters. It was more of this is the same cookie cutter generic movie that you can insert any character into and we would have gotten the same results. There was no creativity whatsoever. Yeah. Storytelling.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
So Convergence is wrapping up.
From DC in the comic book world, that's right. Convergence number 8 just hit today. So, I mean, from buzz I've been hearing from people talking, you got Convergence on DC side, you got Secret Wars on Marvel side, and most of the people are digging the Secret Wars stuff so far, only about, I think, like three issues in, and are very confused by the DC stuff. So, but I guess in another, you know, coming up that, you know, things are going to go to the new DCU. Okay. I think they have officially said they're dropping the new 52 moniker. New 52 is dead.
So are we going back to the old?
Don't think we're going back to the old either, because I've just been kind of sort of glancing at some of the listed stuff, and we're going to be getting a new Batman, a Batman that actually is in a very large suit of armor. So we don't, I think for a while, don't even know who is in said suit of armor.
So Iron Man, Iron Bat.
Kind of. I think some people, I want to say I heard a rumor that it was going to be Jim Gordon, but I haven't actually looked hard to find out or care. And then Superman appears that his secret identity may be public knowledge, possibly by accident. And so he will be, you know, basically the most well-known person in the world.
Okay.
But that's all I've gotten so far, as far as big changes. They've got some other stuff coming up, like We Are Robin, where it's essentially, think of it as... like a gang of kids that are inspired by Batman and more so by Robin. So, and they're looking to, you know, basically have a gang of kids that protect the city.
So it's not like We Are Marshall where Robin gets killed in a plane crash and we got to have a complete new football season to...
No, they've already killed Robin, so I guess I can't. I can't do that again.
Okay. Speaking of Superman, have you seen the leaked pilot for Supergirl?
I heard it was floating around, but I didn't go looking for it. Did you see it? What does that mean, Mike?
Something might have passed in front of my eyes, but that was actually quite intriguing. But I'm going to claim Schultz syndrome here and go, I know nothing.
Is that so? And since you know nothing, you can't actually say if it's good or not.
Not bad, hypothetically. If it's passed by my eyes, not bad. Dean Cain, Helen Slater are in it. I think we've talked about that. And they actually play the Danvers, the foster parents of Kara.
Okay.
Calissa Flockhart plays her boss.
Right, Cat Grant. I got that.
Now, I don't remember in Man of Steel, did they introduce Jimmy Olsen?
Yes.
Was he a black man or a white man?
He was white. He was probably like early 20s, somewhere, mid 20s, somewhere in there.
Okay. See, this is where I'm confused, hypothetically. The show, from reports, I've seen it. I've seen the pilot.
What? You've seen it? But you just told me you hadn't seen it. This is all a sham.
Hypothetically. Jimmy Olsen's a black man. Okay, fine, cool. They make reference back to the movie quite a bit. But they've talked about how Arrow and Flash could cross over into the series since CBS owns the CW. They could do that crossover. Okay, fine. Then why not then go ahead and say the TV shows are in the same universe as the movies, and then you don't need to worry about recasting Arrow because you have them with Stephen Amell. You don't have to worry about recasting Flash because you have them with Gustin. And then you use them as needed. And then you pull in your Suicide Squad cast into the shows as needed instead of having this. That's where I'm confused. If you're going to pull some of the plot and storyline of, well, Man of Steel's been, you know, he don't tease the movie tie-in if you can't follow it through. Is all I got to say.
Or if you're not going to do it
across, right,
if you're saying that TV separate movies are, if you're saying that that's the deal, fine with that. Go in, make mention to the movie.
Yeah. So. Oh no!
That's what I was like. Sorry, I hope I wasn't distracting, but I was like trying to look around and see where I put my plug-in headphones at. I can't remember where I put them.
Oh no! As Marty bends over looking for them. It's okay. He's in a shirt. Huh? What?
Wait, why are you looking at my bum? Bum looker?
I thought the Supergirl pilot was there, hypothetically. So, I guess other news coming out, Elektra might be a part of Daredevil season 2. If you haven't heard, it did get picked up for a second season, which is cool. And then they're kind of speculating, well, if we see Elektra in season 2, if the show gets a season 3, do we potentially see Bullseye? I say bring Bullseye in season 2 as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that would almost be cooler in essence.
We've already met Stick. We saw the back of Stone. And I think adding the Hand and Elektra and Bullseye would be pretty cool. Another 13 episodes to develop all that. So
you're pretty thick into the show itself now. You started watching not too long ago.
Yeah, I'm up through episode 7, episode 8.
Okay.
I'm digging it. It's Vincent does a great job as Wilson, Wilson Fisk. The casting is, I mean, it's pretty solid. I'm happy with the casting. I mean, I'm happy with the show.
Cool.
To say it's better than S.H.I.E.L.D. or Arrow, or whatnot. Sorry, you're talking apples and oranges because you're talking a show that's streaming as opposed to a show that's that releases weekly.
And also maybe even a different mindset because it's kind of a self-contained story. Like if Daredevil just kind of got a mediocre response or something like that, it wouldn't come back. There would be a chance that would be the only Daredevil story we got was those 12 episodes. So it could kind of wrap itself up and be done. And if it came back, great. If it didn't, it didn't. And like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Flash and Arrow and all those, they don't have that benefit. They've got to keep that second act going forever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I will say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was better the second season than it was the first.
Okay.
And of course, yeah, it really didn't pick up first season until they shot Sky and picked up from there. And then the tie-in with Captain America Winter Soldier. To me, that's when season one really kicked up.
Gotcha. I heard like the last part of season two was even, you know, had a nice little send-off too. Like,
yeah. They kind of allude almost to, what's the one group that Quake is a part of?
Secret Friends, Secret Santa, Secret Santa.
I want to say Secret Avengers, but that's not it.
My Little Secret.
I don't know. But their own, Secret I don't Sauce. Remember. I don't remember. Oh, this is driving me nuts. But I guess they're potentially setting up where that could be in its own, that doesn't work either. Where that could potentially be its own show. I'm just trying to find. Okay, here we go. Daisy Johnson, aka Quake. Secret Warriors. Nick Fury's Secret Warriors.
Gotcha.
I could see that as a potential spinoff. Still want my Howling Commando show though.
You might get them. I mean, Agent Carter's coming back for a second season.
Yeah, it's going to be.
You can see the Commandos in their prime. In their proper time period.
They gotta have their own show. Animated, live action. I don't care. ABC, no. Netflix.
This is an Agent Carter show. We're not giving it to the Commandos. Agent Carter and the Howling Commandos. How about that?
No. Howling Commandos.
Can't be Nick Fury because he's not born yet.
But the Howling Commandos, when they first appeared in the comics, was Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos.
Then you have to introduce White Nick Fury to the people that are used to Black Nick Fury also still get that age demo in there. And that's just pink.
Well, you could do a younger Nick Fury and then go life model decoy.
Boo and that life model decoy. Where'd that get us anyway?
Okay. Introduce the fact that Nick Fury went through Tahiti.
Exactly.
So well, we have a special guest joining us here in a minute or two. So we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back with our special guests.
Hi Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And we're Geek Watch 1. Are you interested in TV,
movies,
comics,
games,
and conventions? Everything from Trek,
to Wars,
Marvel,
to DC,
D&D,
to WoW,
Whovians,
to the Hulksters?
Then your search is over.
We are the geeks you're looking for.
Geek Watch 1 is available at kylanandken.podbean.com.
You can also listen, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look for Geek Watch 1.
And you can interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Kylan and Ken.
And remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
Turn my phone sound off. It's R2D2. It's R2D2 though, so it's pretty cool.
I wonder what that is. Either that or it sounded like somebody taking a balloon and letting it out.
I think on my way to the Star Wars celebration, I set that. I was like, I'm a huge robot chick, so it was kind of necessary.
I'm jealous that you went to the celebration.
Yeah. Well, if it wasn't already nighttime, I'd have my robot necklace on, which is very cool.
Oh. I went to the two celebrations that were here in Orlando, considering it's home for me. I just couldn't get the time off to go out west for it.
Aww. It was pretty cool. Thursday and Friday, and it was big. I was amazed how big it was. Yeah. Crowded and big, but my God, I'd never seen so many robots in my life. It was amazing.
Oh, the R2. A good friend of mine who works over as a tech at studios has one of the few, I think he's got one, or he's one of either two or three working remote, fully remote controlled R2D2s in the state of Florida.
Wow. Well, they had the whole upstairs was all working. Like, they had the guys who have the clubs to build these things, which, you know, for the new Star Wars, that the people who created that new robot were actually from that, which is really cool. Yeah. And they were there if you watched the interview, and they're so excited to be a part of it. I mean, because they just thought they'd be on the outskirts forever, you know? It's really cool.
Especially considering he's going back to more, you know, practical kind of effects, you know, instead of just doing CGI, it's like people getting, making and creating.
We like it where it's like tangible and it's real. I mean, to me, that's the coolest. Of course, if you add the CGI in, that's really cool. But I mean, when I watch something, I'll give you an example, like Planet of the Apes. It's gone so CGI driven that I don't follow the story as well. I'm kind of caught up by the visual effects, but I miss out on connecting with the character because, you know, there's so much CGI now. Yeah.
That's my fear for Jurassic World.
I think that's everybody's fear.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well, we'll wait and see, right?
Yeah. That's right. We got some good stuff. We need to start recording. We got some good stuff going.
No, I'm not going to see you guys later.
So what are you working on?
Didn't we already talk about that?
So the voice we've been hearing is Tracy Birdsall, actress, writer, director, currently working on Who's Jenna Jameson and Robot Fighter. Tell us a little bit more about Robot Fighter.
Robot Fighter is really, really cool because I grew up interested in robotics, so it's like my favorite thing to work on right now. It's about AI taking over the world, and we basically go out to put actually the world. It's held on multiple worlds in the distant future, not too distant though. And so it's kind of a kick-ass movie. I mean, we have some great cast in it. We have Daz Crawford from Blade 2. We have Livy Steubenrock, who is the young Anna on Frozen. We have just some Stephen Manley, who is young Spock on Star Trek 3. So it's such a fun project. It's physically exhausting, but which I love, you know. But the storylines is very character-driven, which you don't always see when you're dealing with science fiction action type things, but it's very character driven. So it's emotionally taxing, physically taxing, but I think the viewers are just going to absolutely love it. So.
Okay. Now, I saw some of the locations you're using are the same locations from Return of the Jedi. What was the inspiration for that?
So I had to go up a million times. Yeah. So Neil Johnson, the director, he would say, okay, I get up to the top and the wind is hurling and it's like crazy. And he'd go, okay, action. He said, when I put my arm up, it means action. I said, when I stand back up, it means I can do it again. It's like really, really exhausting, but really, really fun. Yeah. But I think we're just looking for different locations that look like different worlds so that it's real, so that it isn't all CGI and it isn't all make-believe. You actually feel like you can smell it, touch it, feel it, realize it, you know. So that was the inspiration to going to such cool locations. Yeah.
And I imagine with a title called Robot Fighter, there might be some robots fighting? Is that a possibility?
There's a wee bit of action in it, yes.
A little bit. Okay. Now, are the robots completely fighting humanity or I guess whatever it consists of humanity since there's multiple worlds, or the robot factions amongst themselves too?
We're fighting against them because they've already taken over. I mean, which of course you can see where that could logically happen in our world. I mean, how many people walk around like this, right? You know? So, but you can see where we trust in everything that's electronic, and which is a form of robotics, and you can see where it gets smarter than we, how it can get smarter than we can. So it's just all about them actually taking over, and then us needing to go out and try and put an end to it. But we shot in like Trona Pinnacles. We've shot in some really cool locations. Yeah, it's going to be
What about your character? Can you give any story?
Yeah, I'm Sienna. I'm the lead in the whole thing, so I get pretty beat up. And it's basically, I kind of take it upon myself to take on these. And so some of these other characters and stuff are my team. And but there's some twists and turns. I mean, there's some areas where she has some realizations of herself. And so there's some big twists inside the movie that I think the viewer won't expect. So I don't know how much you know about it or how much you've read about it. I said too much too early. So
just don't tell us the end. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
Did you find yourself drawing from any other, you know, sci-fi or female leads to build your character for this movie?
Not from other sci-fi leads. You know, I'm a true believer in completely immersing yourself in whoever you think that character might be and then living like that character. So for me, that's acting. Like if you take from other actresses and what other people have done, then you're acting. But if you take on the characteristics and what that person has to go through in a journey, then you just become that character. And so I think that of course we're all influenced by other badass characters in science fiction, right? But I think it's really important to create who that character is in your mind and to live like that character, because otherwise you feel like you're watching a movie where people are acting. It's very, very real. And that's what I love about it. Yeah, it's very real.
Now, you were saying earlier that you have a love for robotics and droids. What's your favorite droid from all of sci-fi?
Well, you know, there's so many of them. You know, I mean, I think of course there's the Wall-Es and stuff like that, I mean, which we all love. And but there's, you can't really pick. My dad ran the largest power electronics convention in the world, so I grew up around robotics. I grew up around thousands of engineers and as a little girl, and so it's just like I saw robots when I was very small, you know, cruising the exhibit halls, you know. So it's like I think you're just drawn to it as a whole. What draws me isn't the physicality of them; it's the mentality and the logic of them. And I just think I think they're amazing, and I do believe that they've already, you know, the AI technology and stuff has already taken over the way that we live to such a degree, and I think we're completely oblivious to it, or that most people are completely oblivious to it. So for me, it was very easy to live this role because it's a very short journey where you could see that it would take for that to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, that's the easiest way to take over is to go ahead and become like the most necessary thing that the human being could need, and then slowly just kind of take away those rights that they feel that they need. Like, you know, your brain power. Like a lot of people say they feel dumber now that they get their smartphone because they just look up the information instead of retaining it in their brain. Well, so,
and then what is the brain? I mean, we get into that, but it's like, how hard of a thing is that to do? We start trusting our electronics and, you know, artificial intelligence stuff. How hard is that to do? To create something that continues to think on its own and becomes conscious. I mean, you're talking about a very, very short journey here. So it's really easy to see where they would do this. You know, you already have human robots out there that look like real humans. I don't know how much you know about that, but and pleasure bots and things like that. And they're perfecting this. And they have real expressions and real emotions and real feelings, and they can react to things. And so, yeah, it's not that far. Technology, I mean, and they look like people. So, yeah, it's a very interesting subject. I loved doing this. Yeah.
So let's talk about a little bit the other movie you're working on. Who's Jenna Jameson?
Yes.
Fill us in more about that.
That's a big raunchy comedy. I love male comedies, you know, male-based comedies, you know, raunchy comedies, Hangovers, this, that, and the other thing. It's a very similar type of thing. So it's not on me being her. It's on me being a doppelganger of her and all this guy's, you know, her love interest, all their friends and everything think that she looks like her. But then she knows a lot about her. So there's a lot of twists and turns in it that are really, really fun to play, because it's a character that's, I've only played something kind of close to this once before, but I had a week between these two projects. So it was a little easy, yeah. So
which one came first? Was it the Robot Fighter or the Jenna Jameson? I wonder which one might bleed into the other.
I know, no, Robot Fighter did. And so it's been kind of interesting, you know, and then I come back and it's like you do these movies back to back and then you're kind of sitting there and you're going to the gym and you're living your life and you're paying your bills and you're like, who am I? It's so fused, you know, because they're so different than each other. But yeah, I know it's a great comedy. Thomas Baldinger is a fabulous writer, and then Neil Johnson is a fabulous writer, and they're both writer directors. So it's like two totally different projects that I got to be lead in, female lead in, that just were amazing projects. Yeah, totally different ends of the realm. Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you go about choosing the type of projects that you want to work on.
I mean, science fiction's easy because I love science fiction. So as long as she has, you know, as long as the character has arcs and places that it goes and things that you can immerse yourself in, because you don't want to just do something that's surfacey, you know. And then comedy, I have to be laughing in the beginning. I started laughing on like page 2 of this movie, and by the time I got to page 74, I was still laughing when I read it. So he had sent it to me. I'd met him at Action on Film Festival. Actually, we both had projects there that had won awards, and he sent me over the script, and he goes, I'd really like you to play the female lead in this. And since I kept laughing all the way through it, I knew that I could bring it to life. You know, I knew that it was a project worth being attached to. And since then, it's just gotten bigger and bigger. You know, it's really gotten to be quite a big project. So it's very fun. Yeah.
And you said before we started that you were working on cutting some footage too. Is that one of those two movies, or you got a third project in the works?
It's Neil's movie, but he's trying to get it all put together. We want to get it out the door quick because it's, you know, there's a good time for it. So I'm not doing anything like really good. I'm just helping organize it. Yeah. So yeah, it's fun.
So when do we expect to see Robot Fighter out?
Well, we can hope that Who's Jenna Jameson will be out the end of this year, and we're hoping to crank out Robot Fighter that fast also. So we kind of have both things on. You know, I've got 4 projects in the can right now, but we're hoping to at least get those 2 out kind of similar timing, just because there's so much buzz on both of them, and it would be a really interesting contrast. I think the viewers would enjoy it. Yeah.
Now, what type of venue are you looking at putting them out? I mean, are you looking big screen? Are you looking Netflix?
Well, HBO. we know we have distribution channels for them. I'd like to see them go theatrical. I'm pretty sure with the one on the East Coast that they've got that all covered. But Robot Fighter is such a good movie and so well written, and the actors did such an amazing job in it that I think that we have some avenues that I think we'll probably be able to get that theatrical too. So it's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to picking roles and things like that, how have you seen female leads kind of changing in the last few years, especially in sci-fi, where it seems like they always seem like they were just the heroine to be rescued a lot of times, and that's kind of being flipped on its ear and becoming much more three-dimensional. What have you kind of noticed in the last few years of that?
Well, you know, you see some of that. I never really got offered that, you know, rescue me role, you know, because I'm a very strong female and smart and all of those other things, and so I have noticed that I get offered a lot more over the last few years, and I think that it's probably because the market is more evolved to where I am, and I don't think it's necessarily that I've evolved to where they are. You know, I haven't auditioned even like a year. I mean, I just kind of read scripts when they come in and decide if I want to do them, so it's been a really fun journey, but I don't know that I've ever played a weak role, you know, so I know that they exist in sci-fi, they exist in all genres, but I don't know that I can't think of one that I've played. Maybe soap a little bit, because they're all kind of similar, they're all kind of ensemble, you know, but yeah, right. Yeah. I've played dumb roles. I play dumb really well because I'm pretty smart. So it's like,
has nothing to do with the blonde hair. Nothing like
that. Now, what's been outside of the current 2 movies, what's been a favorite project that you've been on that you really, really wish you could revisit?
Well, you know, my favorite project is always my last project and my next project. So yeah, I mean, to be honest, right now, Robot Fighter is my very favorite project ever, just because of the physicality, and I got to do all my own stunts and things, and I'm very, very active, and so for me, I like that. I mean, I was just photographing my bruises at the end of the day. I was so proud. My legs were just covered, my hips, my body. You know, I was just so proud of those, because I earned those. You know, I went down there and I did those things, but, you know, and before that, I did a film, a prior raunchy comedy called Do You Like Your Balls, and that was really, really fun, because it was a big, outrageous character, you know, and so we like those things where we get to be bigger, and also where you get to take a journey that you've never taken before. As an actress, you want to try different flavors. You want to push your envelope to somewhere you've never been before. And then besides that, I would say it was just different actors that I'd worked with that made other projects so appealing. Like last year, I worked with Barry Corbin twice. And, you know, I worked with Dennis Hopper before. I mean, just some of the great people that you work with and you learn from just being around them. And you kind of hope if you bump up against them enough times, some of that will rub off, you know?
Now, have you worked with Neil Johnson before?
Well, yeah, I was the first time that I worked with him. I did the spaceship computer voice on Doomsday, which just is getting released right now. It just went to Con Market this last festival. And so that was the first time. Then we co-produced something together. We co-produced At the Edge of Time, which is a science fiction time travel movie, which is amazing. And so, and then we did Robot Fighter. So it's kind of, you know, it's funny. I've worked with a couple directors twice before, but this will be the first time I've worked with someone three times. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm trying to remember. You were in a film last year, Dawn of Destruction?
Dawn of the Crescent Moon.
Okay.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at IMDb, and they've got, because I thought I saw you in another film last year.
Sometimes change names, too.
They have you for Dawn of Destruction.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Because they also have you in Dawn of the Crescent Moon.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know what's confusing here, but I'm looking. You know, and it's funny because even anything that I did a long time ago doesn't even show up because you know how IMDb databases do. You have to go through bells and whistles. I'm like, just forget it. I'm working. Yeah.
Well, I know I did see you in a movie last year. I know it began with Dawn, so I guess it was Dawn of the Crescent Moon.
Yeah, because that was just released last year. That was with Barry Corbin, too. Yeah. Yeah. I think all my scenes were with Barry as we went through this journey. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. So then I called him up and asked him to be in At the Edge of Time, and he was amazing. Yeah. Because he was still out here with Anger Management. So okay. They only went through 100 episodes. So I think it was like episode 90. And I
thought you meant like actual Anger Management, not like the Charlie Sheen TV show.
Yeah, the Charlie Sheen TV show, yeah. Yeah, I went to a few times and visited and stuff. It was very cool. Yeah, yeah.
Did you get to rub the elbows of Charlie?
I actually went on Charlie's bus. Yeah. Oh. And he had like this little grass area outside and this little fence, and he had the big bouncer up front, and he had the porn stars inside of the table, and it was like, hey, Charlie.
Now, IMDb kind of reminded me, but you worked with Michael J. Fox briefly for an episode on Family Ties?
Back at the beginning. Well, my first SAG job that I did was for Sunkist Soda, and those ran for 10 years. So that was how I got my union card as a teenager.
That's the one with the Sunny D and the purple stuff, always the purple stuff? Or is that? Sunkist.
Yeah, Sunkist has the orange label, and it's the Good Vibrations song. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's right.
I think I have it on my Twitter in the videos, yeah. Because I found a couple of them. I did an interview with this guy once, Garrison, who I'm like, oh yeah, I did this, but I can't find him, right? So he gets a hold of Sunkist. The next thing I know, there's a compilation of them all on YouTube. I'm like, this is so cool. So seen him since I was a teenager, and then all of a sudden they're just right there. Yeah, so Sunkist was gonna, they're like, you're gonna talk about us, we're gonna talk about you. Yeah, but that was my first television comedy experience, was Family Ties. So, and I was so nervous, but it was just so easy and so much fun. And I didn't realize it was all going to be so easy. Like every set you go to, the people are so cool, you know. Every now and then you get somebody that's not, but pretty much they're, as long as you've really worked hard on your stuff, they're amazing. Yeah.
So what got you interested in going into acting?
I was born in Burbank, a really uninteresting story, and went to Gary Dance Studio, took singing and dancing lessons, and when I was 5, I was on stage doing a singing and dancing solo number by myself, and it was just such a rush. So I started getting into musical theater, and I sang in a lot of different churches, and I always wanted to be an actress, but my parents weren't that hip on the idea. They're like, you're smart, use your brain. So I kind of had to get my union card without my parents' signature, which they know about now, so it's all cool. It wasn't at first. It was good, yeah. But I just always wanted to do it. You know, I did print work and started out doing commercial, and just made me very happy, yeah.
And then how do you like sneak out in the middle of the night to like work on a project to get your SAG card? How do you do that behind your parents' back?
All I needed was a signature, you know. And I didn't go on a casting call or anything. I was on the beach when somebody else got fired, and they said, "Can you drive a stick shift?" And I was 15, but I could because my father always drove sports cars and he taught us how. So that's how that happened. And I had to come up with the paperwork and I had to get it signed. And so me and my girlfriends were trying to decide who was going to sign it. And so it just all worked out, but I'm sure it would have worked out anyway, but not so soon.
Were they mad when they find out? How long did you keep the ruse up, I guess I should say?
I actually just didn't think that they'd find out, and maybe like 6 or 7 months later they were watching something and they're like, Tracy, you know. But the funny story is, once I fessed up to that, about a year later there was a commercial on for Trojan, the condoms, and right. I guess the girl looked like me. So my dad pulls me aside and he's like, Tracy Lee? And I'm like, yes. Did you do a commercial. I'm like, no. It's kind of funny. Yeah.
Well, at least the Sunkissed ones were out there before the Trojan ones popped out.
Yes, then but I do really that.
Is that right? But still, I'll be like, what? You need to tell us something.
I was a teenager. They wouldn't hire you to do that stuff anyway. You know. Yeah. I hope not.
So what? Once you're getting close to wrapping up Robot Fighter and Who's Jenna Jameson, what's next?
You know, I really don't know. We're already talking about a sequel to Robot Fighter just because it's getting such good press and publicity, and the story's so good. So as soon as we see, you know, how that's received by distribution and stuff like that, then, you know, we might start working on that right away. But besides that, I don't know. I'm actually working on another film right now for a producer out of Australia, Steve Ravick, that I've shot some of that on, and it's called Diary of a Fat Man. So I shot some of that 1 week that I had between Robot Fighter and Who's Jenna Jameson, and they're going to be back here, I think, the 8th of June or something like that. But then I have to go because I'm the guest of honor at a film festival on the 10th at Temecula Festival. So it's just a juggle, you know? Yeah.
See, Margie, I told you.
She's starting to sound like how I fill up a schedule. Like, well, I've got like this 2-hour block here, so I think I'm just going to get a whole new job and put it in there.
You know, that's what I did between them. He's like, do you want to do this? And I go, well, yeah, I guess as long as I have time to get my hair done before I go to the East Coast, yeah, you know? How long can it take to pack, right?
See, Marty, I told you someone would pick up my life story somewhere. It just happened to be someone in Australia.
See?
So my publicist in Australia. There you go.
I just totally lost where I was going.
Now, have you thought about trying to do some other stuff on the other side of the camera, like doing directing or producing?
Well, I do produce. I mean, I co-produced Robot Fighter. The first film produced on my own was I Might Even Love You in the late 90s, and that actually went to Cannes and did really well. So, and then I produced TikTok. I don't even know when that was, now that I have my IMDb up, in 2010. And so that was basically, I'd taken a chunk of years off, and I thought I'd come back into the industry, and they'd be like, oh, Tracy, you're back. And instead, like, people had changed jobs, and some people had died, and it was really a struggle. So you can either go back out there, get an agent, and start auditioning, but instead I decided to make the very best short I could, and I'd never made a short before. I'd only made a 35mm feature. And it won awards all over the world, and it's just been kind of easy since then. So it was like I used it as a calling card. It was this most shocking, disturbing thing that you could ever produce. I hired the best director and cinematographer I could. And we won best movie awards in festivals that even up against feature films with a 9-minute short. We won best movie awards at three different festivals. Yeah. But I just wanted back in, and I didn't want to climb my way back in, you know? So
How tough is the producer role? Would you say that's one of the tougher roles, or one of the, you know, being different roles in making a movie? How would you rank it as
I think that's
amount of pressure?
I think that's a personality driven thing, because it's a really high pressure thing, but I do really well with it. It's just putting the pieces together. My only thing as an actress is I want to make sure that I can put down my producer duties when I have to start shooting. So it's like if I'm doing both in something, then it's like I want to have it so well organized and know who to turn to, where I can put it down and only focus on acting, because I don't want to be thinking about acting. I want to be thinking about living that character. And if somebody comes to you with a problem, you can't do that. So I think it's important to have somebody else to fall back on. But I absolutely love producing. I love casting. To me, that's really, really fun. That's a really fun part of the project. And I'm really good at it, I think. So yeah, there's a lot of things. I don't think I'd want to direct, but that's because I know so many directors and I see how good they are. And I'm like, I would. You only want to do things that you can be really good at, you know? So
who's that one person you want cast in a movie, if you could get that one person?
God, there's so many. I mean, I make this a big question, I'll make it a big answer. I want to work with Meryl Streep.
There we go.
Just throw that to the universe, you know?
Right. Now, yeah. Since you do like the casting, do you like doing the auditioning? Because I hear that's probably one of the hardest things to do.
Auditioning myself?
Yeah. You yourself, do you like going into auditions? Or are you like, you kind of hate doing that whole process, but it's the necessary evil?
If I'm not working, like I haven't auditioned in a little over a year, but if I'm not working, I absolutely love auditioning, because somebody wants to see you act. Do you know what I mean? And if you're not acting and you're an actor, you should, that should be what you crave doing. You know, it doesn't do you any good to do it in front of your bathroom window or mirror going, da, 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 wasn't that great? You know, who cares? It's that, that feeling that you get doing it for other people and seeing their response. And when I go on an audition, I treat it like I'm working. Like I wouldn't go if I'm not off book and completely into the character and things like that. I'll just pick between them if it's too busy.
Now, while you are casting, what's it like having people coming to you and you're seeing all the different auditions, you know, being on the other side of the table?
I think it's pretty easy. I mean, I love being on the other side of the table because you can tell if people are living it or if they're pretending. And that's kind of what I like to look for, is who's living it, you know, who's really there, especially if you're going to be working opposite them, because it has to flow freely. And there's nothing worse than being opposite somebody that doesn't have it flow through freely, blah, 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 blah. So I like both sides. You know, it's like I said, making a movie is like a puzzle. You know, you got to get all the pieces together, but you can't cut yourself short anywhere.
So is it hard knowing that, like, you get the one person comes in, they're perfect for the role, they go to start, and they're not living it, and it's like, ugh. The search continues.
I'll tell you a problem I have with, I did not find this on the East Coast, but LA, and I probably have plenty of people who are upset with me for saying this before, LA has so many classes that are either led by casting directors or they're for auditioning. So you have, in LA, you have actors that are amazing auditioners. But as soon as they get to set with 95 pages, it's horrible. Because they've only been taught how to do that audition in order to book the job. And so when you're talking about blocking and living and all this stuff, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of actors in LA that can't do it. And that was such a refreshing thing about working on the East Coast on this Who's Jim Jameson, is because I worked with Gary Pastore and Bill Sorvino and, you know, I mean, some big family legend names, you know, and they were brilliant. They were so good. Everybody was just living it and off book, and I was so happy. And they're like, "Well, that's how they do it out here." I'm like banging my head up against the table, you know. So, yeah, but it's all good. I mean, you help people; other people help you. You know, it's just how it's done. Yeah.
I'd always heard for the casting thing, like some people, the best way to look at it is the work is the casting, or doing the auditions. Doing the auditions as your work, and your payoff, your reward is actually getting the role. So if you look at it that way, then auditioning is not
so terrible. As long as you flip role, you know what I mean. Right. It's like, because you can. I think people can fake their way through an audition, you know, but you can't fake your way through a movie. And it just makes it harder on everybody else, you know. So that's the only thing about casting. And also you ask people questions, and they're all going to tell you all the answers they think that you want to hear. You know, they won't, you know, and then you get them out to the desert or something like that. And they're like, ah, bug. And you're like, oh, great. Do you like camping? Oh, I love camping. You go, they're like, ah.
If camping you mean like in a trailer with like amenities and running water, yes, I like camping.
Yeah. And I mean, we weren't camping or anything, but it's one of the questions you use to see how people are with roughing it a little bit, you know, because some of those locations, you know, the hotels aren't that great. You know, you do the best you can, but you're out in the middle of nowhere. So I figure if I can rough it, they can rough it.
Yeah. Do you have like a favorite place that you have shot at, and like any movie that you worked on or project? Do you have like a favorite?
Just we've gone back a couple of times to the Salton Sea. I don't know if you guys are down there, aren't you? Have you been to the Salton Sea? That place is amazing. Like, it's this kind of abandoned community, but it goes on forever, and it goes around this giant lake, and it has to do with the water levels in California and stuff, and so there's all this dead things and rotted things, and but it makes for such a fantastic post-apocalyptic world.
Okay.
And so I have to say that you should visit the Salton Sea, because it is just amazing. Yeah.
I have to check it out if I ever get out to California.
Yeah. I mean, so, really amazing. Well, if you go to Comic-Con or something, it's not that far from San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's really cool. Yeah. I like it all.
Yeah. Now, since you brought up Comic-Con, have you ever been to pitch any films? Or are you planning to go?
Yeah, we're planning on going with this as soon as we get it done. I've, of course, been without pitching anything, or been with other people who had projects there and stuff like that, because I adore the cons. But I think we'll be going there with Robot Fighter for sure. Yeah.
What do you think about when you go to some of these bigger cons that are just, especially like San Diego, it's just getting massive.
It is so much fun. Oh my God. Yeah. I just love it. Yeah. I just love it. It's so much fun. But I've gone for years. So yeah, I just think it's fantastic. I mean, that was kind of cool about Star Wars Celebration even is because at the cons, you have all these people who are into all these different things. But at Star Wars Celebration, these are diehard Star Wars fans. They're not necessarily into any of the other things. They're just science fiction Star Wars, you know? And it was cool. It was very different than the cons, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You just went to Celebration, too, this year. Yeah. What'd you geek out on when you got out there?
Oh, gosh. I think the photo ops were the most fun, you know, riding, you know, acting like you're getting on the hover bike. And I had the stormtroopers hold their guns up against my head. And, you know, it's all on my Instagram. The back to tank, you know, all that stuff. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it's if you've never been to a Celebration, it's a convention, but it's not. It's its own thing. And it's just so much fun. And when you leave your last day, whether you're there for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, or all four, that last day when you go home, it's like, what do I do now?
Now what? Yeah. Well, and I stood.
Sleep. That's usually what happens.
I stood 3 hours in line. We did just to buy souvenirs. Yeah. I mean, where else do you stand 3 hours in line to get led into this little room with t-shirts hanging and you're like going crazy, right?
The Hasbro booth at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That's about it.
This was worse for me. I had to get in there and I had to spend some money and I had to, yeah. I got a sweatshirt from my dad. I got stuff for my kid. I got stuff for everybody. And it was like, oh my God, I'm at Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah. It's one of those. It's like, I don't need to pay the mortgage this month or next month.
Mortgage.
What's a mortgage? It's insane. Do you do much of the con circuit outside of San Diego Comic-Con?
I haven't done much of it. You know, I mean, I've gone for fun, but I have a feeling since I have several science fiction movies coming out that I'll probably be doing a lot more of it. So, cause I like my fan base anyway. It's like, I know that on Twitter that it's out there that I'm the guest of honor at this film festival and I have some fans that are all messaging me, I'll be there, da, da, da. You know, and I love that. So I think that's a lot of what you see at the cons, you know, is the people reinforcing them. And I love that. Yeah.
We have a big con here in Orlando called MegaCon. And a few times we've interviewed some people and then all of a sudden see them at the show. It's like, hey, how's it going? And just the follow up. And yeah, I love being able to. It's the fact that y'all are available to chat. And, you know, you could tell those people who say, like, yeah, next person, please. To those who will sit there and just talk your ear off. It's like, okay. It gives you a little bit of reality of, okay, who's actually here for the fans and who's not.
Who's excited about it? You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
I've actually, for some reason, I've been brainstorming in my head, like, the perfect movie and trying to team you up with, like, the perfect other sci-fi person. And for some reason, I keep coming back to Gigi Edgley. I don't know if you've met her or not.
She's
on Farscape. She's another great female sci-fi person. I'm just like, there's some way that, like, a Thelma and Louise set in, like, a distant planet with the two of you would be something amazing to see.
Turn it into a trio and add Ellen Dubin.
Ellen really well.
There you go.
Both Gigi and Ellen been guests on the show.
Oh,
twice,
really?
Twice, Ellen, actually.
Ellen's a friend of mine, yeah. And she's amazing. Because
they're like, I'm starting to see, like, this small contingent of just, like, great female sci-fi actresses that are, you know, starting to really get the attention that they deserve. But there hasn't really been that film, I think, to really showcase all of them. So there we go. All in one. Get a trio. You just got to figure out what it is that you ladies can do.
Charlie's Angels in Space, right?
And you come find out Charlie is actually Hal from 2001.
There you go. Exactly.
Sorry, angels. I can't do that.
I think it's the angels would be saying sorry.
Hal's been up there since 2001, so he's very lonely. He just wants attention.
I'll start with that first.
Charlie, can you open up the pod bay doors? Can't do that, angels.
It doesn't work anymore.
I'm sorry, not 2001.
Hey, have you ever thought about possibly going back to TV? Or is that ever a thought?
I've toyed with with TV, you know, a couple years ago and did a little, you know, Back to Young and the Restless for a while and, you know, got a lot of auditions when I was doing it for leads in new comic series and stuff like that at pilot season. And so I was toying with it, but I have so much fun with film that as long as I'm working constantly, I'm going to stay where I'm at. And then if something comes up later that I would, or if I wasn't working, you know, but right now I've been kind of on a roll. I don't think that, even though I only have little things right now in the near future, I don't think that'll last. I mean, I think there's things right around the corner. So, but otherwise I would open up to going back into TV. Yeah. Especially with science fiction.
What about, like the new trend with doing a binge-watched show for Netflix?
Well, I don't think that any of our methods of releasing material are any lesser than any others now. I mean, so many people watch everything on streaming and things like that. It's really more about the quality of the project and the quality of the role. You know, I mean, that gets me all excited. You know, makes me really want to do something. Yeah. So, yeah.
I wasn't on the soap opera. I've always heard that those are like a, you know, a minute pace kind of a
dealing. I did them in my early 20s. I mean, so it's like you kind of, it's a muscle that's there, you know, so right. It's like, yeah, and I didn't have something at that point in time when they asked me to come back for a while. And so I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't want to live that life. You know, I wouldn't want to do that day in and day out. It pays well eventually, but it's not something that doesn't get me excited. You know, you have to be excited about what you're doing. Yeah. So at least I do.
I think I hear your dog has entered the room there. He's like,
yes, my dog is definitely in the room. I think she wants to go outside, so she's like being all happy and trying to get my attention.
I heard the collar kind of a little bit and the sniffing around and huffing like she was either getting mad or she just came in the room.
She's like, kind of jumping around doing this whole thing like, hey, I'm cute over here.
Like, come on, mom, pay attention to me.
Yeah, she's big. That's why you hear her. Yeah.
What type of dog?
The black lab.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had one of those growing up as a kid. That's a good dog.
Yeah, she's a good dog.
We lost our golden retriever last year, but we still have our Australian shepherd. And new people come in the house, and she's got a herd. Okay, five more people. One's left. Wait, there's... Okay.
I'm going to put him over here. You put him over there.
Okay, I'm tired. I'm going to go lay down. Someone got up and moved. Okay, start counting again. Yeah, it's just something else.
That's hilarious, yeah.
So, well, we thank you for coming on and telling us about Robot Fighter and who's Jenna Jameson. Where can people find you on the internet?
Everywhere. My website is TracyBirdsall.com, TracyBirdsall.com. And then Instagram is TracyBirdsall1, and Twitter is TracyBirdsall1, and then Facebook is... /TracyBirdsallOfficial.
Did you add the ones because there was already a Tracy Birdsall?
In the Midwest.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Everybody always asks me, why don't you just ask her if you can have... I'm like, you know what? There's nothing wrong with the number one, right? I'll just sure. go with it.
Is one your favorite number or is that just...
Three is.
Let's start. Oh, okay.
Three is my
favorite. You could have went with three.
I didn't think of it at the time. I thought of it later. Yeah.
Right.
But, oh, well. Yeah. Stick with one.
Cool. Well, again, thank you for joining us and... I guess until next time.
Yes. Look forward to talking to you again. Thanks.
Awesome. Bye. Tracy.
See you later.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.